Let me give a huge capital FM welcome to Nyangudhye Chege, the Director of Natural Justice. And I don't know if you remember this, I was unavailable last Friday because I was at a Natural Justice roundtable, and I've been thinking about you ever since then. Nyangudhye, welcome to Capital FM.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Now, okay, you're on my team. We are banding together and taking on Mr. Kimani.
No, hold on. This is a discussion.
Okay.
And I'm also open to be educated on this discussion.
Well,
my argument was that I will use the expressway. I will pay the tolls. I will get my car fitted for the box. I will get the monthly pass to avoid sitting in traffic.
And my argument, it feels like we're talking to our mom about like we want to go out or not. My argument is, I'm actually actively going to take a moral stance and not use the expressway.
Cool. Enjoy the traffic down there.
I will. Yeah. I'll be tweeting you. I'll be like, Farida, I can't come in today. But who better to discuss this than the Director of Natural Justice? Nyangudhye, you have had 20 years of experience in sustainable development, public sector governance, human resources development in the nonprofit sector. The list goes on and on. You are a JD holder. Is that Juris?
That's a Juris Doctor.
Columbia University School of Law.
We need to know what that
law.
Means.
So she's basically super clever.
So what does that mean?
So a JD is the first degree in law in the US, but you obviously take it as your second degree. It's actually a terminal degree in law. You can, once you get your bachelor's degree in whatever field it is, mm-hmm. Then 4 years, after 4 years in the US, you will do your first degree in law, and in 3 years of very intense, a lot of legal thinking about all the matters that we discuss, day to day.
Right. So, what was the first degree then? If this was your second degree,
my first degree was a bachelor's in government.
Oh, cool.
And then she goes on
uni. Oh, you said Columbia.
University School of Law. Thank you very much. And then a master's in international affairs from the university's School of International and Public Affairs. And now you are home.
Marudi. I am
all right.
Very much.
And what are you doing here?
What am I doing
She's
here?
She's the Director of Natural Justice.
Yeah, but what does that entail? What does that entail?
Okay, so let me tell you a little bit more about Natural Justice. We are a group of lawyers and researchers who support communities and indigenous people in protecting their environment and their access to land and to benefit from the land. So we work for communities. That's who we're lawyers for.
Okay.
We don't work for the private sector, but we are supporting basically rural communities, but also urban communities, in order to be able to protect the environment and be able to benefit as much as the rest of us.
Right. And I would imagine you get a lot of pushback.
We get both, right? We get a lot of support. We are partners, not just with communities, but believe it or not, with governments too, right? With county governments, with national governments. I mean, we consider ourselves as stakeholders the same way the National Environmental Management Authority, which is a very key agency of ours in government today, we consider ourselves partners with them to help protect the environment for the protection and use of all Kenyans.
Okay, cool.
So there. Nyangudhye, we're going to take a little bit of a break, but we are going to come back and talk about the expressway and what is an EIA. Something I learned on Friday. I'm very excited
I also have questions that are non-expressway related.
Good.
Yes.
But we have a Woman Crush Wednesday that is going to fuel us and fire us up to change. Nyangudhye Chege, Director, Natural Justice. How can we be more empowered? How can we, as citizens of the world, of Kenya, residents of Nairobi, how can we do more and be more involved in our world and our lives?
You know, Davina, we as Kenyans have an obligation in the Constitution to actually participate in protecting our environment, in protecting our health, in our welfare, in our culture, etc. It's actually written in the Constitution. We talk about the rights that we have and the obligations of the government to protect our rights. And in this instance, we're talking about the right to a healthy environment, a clean and healthy environment. But in the Constitution as well, we as citizens, we have an obligation to cooperate with the state in order to protect the environment. This is not an obligation that sits only with activists or with civil society organizations or with one or two individuals, right? It's really important to have them. But we must all remember that this is an obligation for all of us. We cannot sit back and say, someone who is my mentor and absolutely continues to be my hero is Professor Wangari Maathai, right? And many times people hold themselves and woe is us, if only Wangari was here, right? But we know that we are the Wangaris. She asked us, what are you going to do? What is your little thing? Her little thing was planting trees. What is our little thing? What are you going to do? When you see that your environment is impacted, when you see your health is impacted, what are you going to do? How are you going to participate? Where are you going to participate? Who are you going to work with, partner with, to make sure that this right to a healthy, clean and healthy environment that we all want, that is guaranteed to us in our constitution, that we ourselves participate in making sure we support our government agencies and also our fellow Kenyans to make sure that we can actually achieve those rights.
You're talking about government agencies. Obviously, NEMA would be the main agency you're talking about. Maybe just break down, what is NEMA's role and how much freedom is NEMA given? You know what I mean? Because they are a government agency at the end of the day. So if you're talking about improving the flow of traffic, spending, 90 billion shillings on an expressway. I mean, how much pushback can they possibly give as an arm of the government?
So remember that NEMA, the National Environmental Management Authority, is the implementing arm for the environmental laws in Kenya, right? So they have an important responsibility. In fact, I would venture to say that NEMA is one of the most important agencies of our time. Their responsibility is to look out for the environmental interests of this country. When we are pursuing, when the government in Kenya is pursuing sustainable development projects. So let's think about what that means, right? We have got to pursue projects that take into account the equity issue, right? We have got to think about development projects that are not only equitable in terms of the benefits that we will experience and enjoy currently, but also the benefits of future generations. That's what it means for sustainable development. We cannot use the environment in a way that completely destroys the ability or inhibits the ability of future generations to enjoy the development themselves when it comes to the future. So that's what NEMA does. NEMA is the agency which is there to use various tools, including the environmental impact assessment tools. They're there to use these tools to help guide us and to protect us, and to protect the environment for all of us. And we are supposed to support them as well in this role. The best mix of music.
Capital FM. And right here it is, a Woman Crush Wednesday. Yay! Such a good day and such a brilliant guest. We welcome Nyaguthie Chege, the director of Natural Justice East Africa Hub, naturaljustice.org or at Natural Justice on Twitter. Nyaguthie, tell us a little bit about what Natural Justice does.
Thanks, Davina. Okay, so Natural Justice, we call ourselves lawyers for communities and the environment. What exactly does that mean? It means that we empower communities and indigenous people to know the law, to use the law, and to shape the law, right? So it's really important, for all of us actually, to be able to know how to use the law. But what is that? What does that mean? So we work with communities around the country. We explain to them what the law means, how it impacts them, how they could influence it, both at the county level and at the national level. And this is about empowerment. This is about allowing people to take control and take charge of their own environment and of their own destiny. That's our role. We play a supportive role. We play an educative role. We play a capacity building role and hand over the responsibilities really to the communities to be able to protect themselves.
Because even as I was very lucky to go to a university. I live in Nairobi, the capital city. Citizens of the capital feel disempowered. So you can only imagine what smaller communities that are being affected feel or don't feel, in fact. So how do you actually bring about change as natural justice?
So a really important way is that we meet communities where they are, right? They will reach out to us and ask us for support. And, you know, I'll give an example, right? About just over 10 years ago, the government announced plans to create a berth, a huge port in Lamu. And the communities wondered, well, what does this actually mean for us? How will it impact us? How will it impact our you know, Lamu? We know the city is a natural heritage, UNESCO heritage site. What does it mean for our fishing grounds? What does it mean for our culture, etc.? So we worked with them very slowly over the years. Then we said, well, let's talk about what this actually means and how this 32 berth port would impact you in terms of the hundreds of acres that would be taken up to build the port, as well as the extra impacts on the marine environment, on the land that would be taken in order to build all the infrastructure that would support the port. Now, listen, this is the communities in Lamu, both and the island itself. You know, we, you know, those of us who have been fortunate enough to go to Lamu, we know what a gem that is. And also in the county, these are not necessarily people who have, you know, university education, etc. But these folks were able to understand what this means and the potential. And so they engaged with the government, with NEMA, with the county officials, in order to understand and to try and influence the development of a port that would make sure that it minimizes the impact of the port, as well as the benefits that would be accrued, that they would benefit as the people who are closest to the port itself. Really, really important discussions that they were having.
Was there like a halfway met? So we'll have the port, but these will be some of the considerations we'll make to ensure that the environment around it stays, you know, relatively unscathed.
Yeah. So those conversations still continue, right? 10 right. plus years later.
Right.
So we know that there are three berths that have been built, right? And because of the involvement of the community in engaging on the EIA, there was an appeal at the National Environmental Tribunal that challenged the license and also challenged the impacts and the consideration and insisted that the project proponent had not adequately accounted for the impact that would be felt, the negative impacts that would be felt by the community. So actually, they ended up being a very favorable judgment for the community that showed that there needed to be compensation to the community. And that was a judgment which I believe was about 2 or 3 years ago. The community is still waiting to collect on a financial judgment in their favor. But that was a very positive ruling.
But do you, when you get pushback from the other side, not from the communities, but from the side that wants to build a 32 berth port or wants to put up an expressway in Nairobi, what is the argument? What is the common argument you get? You know, when for this progress to happen,
right. Yeah. It's exactly that. It's progress, right? We know that Kenya is a developing country, and we know that for us, in order for us to actually accrue both economic development but human development, there's a lot more investment that needs to happen both in infrastructure and in other investments. And so there is actually a false belief that. That in order to be able to consider the environmental impacts, that it's a choice between development and no development. But that is actually a false choice. When we talk about, and this is what actually NEMA does, as we were talking about earlier, NEMA uses tools in order to minimize the negative impacts of development. That's what it's about. It's about minimizing the negative impacts. It's also making sure that there's the equity principle that we abide by, that the benefits do not accrue to a tiny minority to the exclusion of others, that it doesn't accrue only to the benefits of current generations to the exclusion of future generations.
On my word, I have not Googled
Okay.
your question. Honestly, I haven't.
So, Fair play. I only learnt what this meant on Friday. EIA. All Kenyans should know what this means.
Environmental Impact Assessment.
You are such
a
liar.
No, someone WhatsApped it to me.
Okay, so don't...
On the studio line. I didn't Google it.
Yeah, so that wasn't you.
But someone sent it on the studio line.
Well done, someone.
The person who sent it is...
Tell me.
Dovu Billionaire.
First of all, I love your name. And I love your brain. Because I really did not know what that was. You are completely correct. An environmental impact assessment. Nyagudhi, please tell us what it is, why we should know about it, and how we can be involved in those things.
Absolutely. Okay. We just talked about sustainable development. Mm-hmm. The EIA, the Environmental Impact Assessment, is a cornerstone of sustainable development. It is an indispensable planning tool for all of us, beginning with NEMA, beginning with the project planner, and moving to the rest of us. It is a way for which a project proponent, and those are the people who are thinking of, you know, the contractors, right, the constructors, someone who's putting up a building, someone who's putting up an expressway, that's the way they think about all the potential impacts, both positive and negative, of the project. And it allows them to plan. It's a planning tool and helps to make decisions. It is not a decision-making tool, but it helps people to make decisions. It's also really important for NEMA in order for NEMA to be able to fulfill its role as both the management agency and also to help coordinate and mitigate negative impacts down the road. So the EIA allows a project proponent to, one, the first goal is to avoid all negative impacts. Secondly, to minimize negative impacts. Thirdly, if you have significant impacts, to mitigate those impacts down the road. So it's absolutely indispensable to all the development projects that we have.
Are we using them?
It's absolutely required.
Are we using them correctly?
I'm saying, are we? I understand legally. It's a requirement, like not bribing a police officer is a requirement. Are we using them? Because again, on a second part of that question would be how, you know, if you look at the time of say former presidents, and I won't go back and name names, but many, many years ago when cutting down trees was not really an issue, the reason that Wangari Maathai had so much. So much to talk about. One of the reasons. You know, these things obviously haven't been circulated as they should have been, I imagine.
Yeah, so that is absolutely true, right? There is an obligation of NEMA to make sure that the public has the ability to participate in decisions, in discussions on these projects. And the EIA is our entryway. It gives us a vision into this project. We cannot know about the project unless the project proponent tells us about it. The project proponent must tell NEMA about it. And NEMA then invites us, and as do the project proponents, us as the residents in the neighborhood, as the citizens of Kenya who need to give feedback on projects. This is the way that we are meant to participate in this. Now, there have been some challenges, obviously, in terms of accessing this information, which is really important. You cannot act without information. So we, as members of civil society, as Natural Justice, we continue to push for access to information in order for us to be able to act. The only way that you can act if you're informed, right? You cannot act in an educated manner if you do not have the information. So absolutely, for us to be able to participate, as I said, it is an obligation on all of us. The only way to participate is if we know about this information and act on it.
So was an EIA issued, filled in, circulated through what for the expressway?
Yes, it was. You did not participate in the public discussions on this?
We didn't even know what it meant.
So what would have been some of the cautions or warnings from an environmental and conservation perspective for putting up this incredible road structure that is going to make my life so easy?
It will make your life easy in some ways and more difficult in others, sure. Right? But let's look at it. Let's look at the expressway right now, and we see some of the impacts that we are facing. For example, when the road was being constructed, when the express was being constructed, there were diversions that had to be created, mm-hmm. right? We mm-hmm. know that. Mm-hmm. What was the impact on road users with those diversions? Was the inability for us to get around, you know, would get notices, by the way, road X has been closed off, find a different alternative. Was that information communicated to us early enough? Did it provide a reasonable alternative for road users? And by road users, I mean everybody, not just people in cars, but also pedestrians. Let's look at the, for example, the bus stops and the Matatu stops that were closed off. What is the impact on people who are now standing at the side of the road, breathing in the pollution as they're waiting for their Matatu to get home? What was the impact when we see the rains? You know, you've got when it pours and you've got all the water pouring down from above the expressway onto the ground. Was that foreseen? Should it have been foreseen? What could have been done in order to prevent that impact on the road users below the expressway? So as we see the expressway, as it was rolled out, as we see it's coming on board and to be fully opened, we can see some of these impacts, and now I'm just talking about the negative impacts, right? We could envision, or should have been able to envision. These are very, you know, the project proponent who has a lot of history and a lot of experience building expressways. And this should have been taken into account.
But you're talking about immediate impact, right? You're talking about carbon monoxide and inhalation. You're talking about rainwater on pedestrians. What about the long term?
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit as well, right? So we know that one of the reasons as well that people got very exercised about the expressway was the felling of trees throughout the long distance from Lolongo all the way up James Gishuru, right? Thousands of trees have been felled.
It's crazy because Westlands mm-hmm. doesn't look like it used to mm-hmm. look at all.
It looks very different, and you'll see that. So if you drive down that road, if you're on that road every day, you might not notice the difference. But if you stay away even for a week and come back, it hits you. When you're driving down Valley Road, it hits you in a huge way. Our environment has changed significantly. Let's talk about the impact of felling those trees, right? There was a study done early last year by one of our partners in civil society that calculated the number of trees, the number of trees that were tagged for felling just on a small stretch of road from the Uhuru Highway roundabout up Kenyatta Avenue to where the Pan Africa Hotel is, that turnoff. Very small stretch on either side of Kenyatta Avenue. The trees that were marked for felling, 200 trees in just that little stretch. And in those, there were at least 13 different species of trees, both exotic and indigenous. And the average age of those trees was 18 and a half years. The age ranged from five years to about 50 years. So when you think about that impact, right, and we will talk a little bit later about the potential carbon emissions from felling the trees in that small stretch. But we can already feel the impact of loss of shade, right, when you're walking down. Those were some incredible trees. The beauty that was, you know, with those jacarandas in full bloom that were intermixed with other indigenous trees, and it provided a natural shade. The temperatures just on that stretch of road has already gone up. We are creating a heat island in this city when we're felling those trees. There's a significant difference in the quality of our lives with the loss of trees.
Some of us live in this country of ours, in Kenya, in Nairobi, in fact, and the capital city has changed dramatically, the look of the capital city. I am, of course, attributing that to the overpass. Is it the overpass or the expressway?
Expressway.
It's called the expressway. Okay, fine. Well, I mean, I just feel like I don't know anything that's happening. I'm. When is it open? How do we use it? I really don't know. But what I do know is that I have a lady sitting next to me who has Some answers. I am, of course, talking about the Director of Natural Justice, Nyagudie Chege. Welcome, and thank you so much for spending this hour and a bit with us as our Woman Crush Wednesday. We're talking about the expressway. Some have called it a road for the rich. Tell us a little bit about that. As Fareed plans his trips to work.
I mean, I'm not the only person who's going to be using it.
I know, yeah. I know.
No, you won't be, yeah. Actually. I think it's a road that will be open for the benefit of those with private vehicles, right? And we know from government statistics that that's about 13% of the residents in Nairobi. So it's great for them, right, when you think about it, that they'll be able to move at what I think promises to be really fast with minimum traffic. From one end of the city to the other. You pay for it, of course, right? But for some people, it will be worth that. But I think we pull back and think a little bit more about what the expressway means for us as a society and as a community. And I think it's two things. One is we must remember that sustainable development means that we pursue economic development projects, infrastructure development projects that are for the benefit of the majority of Kenyans. We cannot continue to pursue projects that are for a really tiny minority. When you think even of that 13%, not all of those 13% will be using the expressway every single day of the week, right? So just in terms of who does it benefit, it's a tiny population. And then we think about what we've given up, right? What could have been some of the alternatives instead of providing only for such a tiny proportion of our residents? What happened to the discussions on the bus rapid transit, the promises that we have heard of more efficient, more usable public transport that's safer and that covers the entire city? Those were conversations that started that we should continue to have, but it's really important that we have those. And I think the third thing that's really important for us to remember is that when members of the Daima Coalition, which is this group of CSOs that were contesting the issuance of this license, when they filed this appeal at the National Environmental Tribunal, the law said that the project should have stopped immediately. And the reason is because we are governed, even this country in our constitution, we're governed by what we think about what we call the precautionary principle, which says that when you have potential projects which could have very significant impacts, and in when it comes to environmental impacts, could be potentially irreversible, we must stop and consider the alternatives. What are some, are there potential alternatives, or are there ways to minimize the impact so that we are able to reap the benefits in a way that's equitable for all? However, the government went right ahead, right, and basically bulldozed and ignored the rule of law. This is something that's important, I think, for all of us to consider, even those of us who will be using the expressway. What does it mean when the government selectively chooses which law to follow? When is that going to impact us negatively? Those of us who would benefit from a certain violation of law today could be the ones who'd be facing, be on the crying end tomorrow. That's something that we should all think about. Even as we benefit from, individually, benefit from some of these actions.
Okay, so the proper channels were not adhered to, and now we have this massive road network above ground that is going to be ready for use this month, they say. Let's see. So in your line of work, when things like this happen, when you know that the correct methods and channels were not followed, you know, what happens now? What happens, clearly it's been done and people are going to use it. The investment is now going towards 90 billion shilling.
Yeah, that's a mind-blowing sum when you think about it. Listen, it's really important for us to think about what precedents this sets, right? And not just us as lawyers thinking about what does this mean, but it also is important for us as citizens to think about what influence must we have in terms of future development. This is not only going to be the only project. We're not done building infrastructure. We're not done thinking about fossil fuel extraction. Mm.
This is the beginning of a long journey of people not following the right protocols. And as you just said, it might be me who agrees with the expressway today, but tomorrow it might be someone putting a road in front of my bedroom window. I don't know. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah. Or coming through your house.
Or coming through my house. Are you going to use the expressway?
You know what? I have not decided to use it yet. It would be very difficult to me. But let me tell you, I can see how tempting it is. I was stuck late August last year on Mombasa Road trying the night. Many of us almost slept on that Thursday night.
Guys got home at 3-4 in the morning.
I was on that road that night. Listen, none of us want to be in that situation.
Again, yeah.
So what happens? What does that mean? Do we build more expressways or do we think of alternatives?
And of course, public transport being regulated would be one, like they have in a lot of major cities in Europe and in the West. But unfortunately, that's another issue altogether, which I'm sure we could talk about for another hour, but we won't get into that.
I told you, she just blows your mind. That is our Woman Crush Wednesday today. Nyagudhe Chege, thank you so much for coming in. And thank you so much for all the work you're doing at Natural Justice, on Twitter or naturaljustice.org.
It's been great. Thank you both.
Thank you.